Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you may know, in our five midweek Lenten services this year, we are hearing St. Matthew's account of Jesus' passion, and we are reflecting on an arguable example of prophecies being fulfilled in each of the five location portions of the Passion that we hear over the 5 weeks. Each example of prophecy and its fulfillment reiterates for us God's will and work to save us sinners who are sorry for our sin and trust God to forgive us by grace for Jesus' sake. 2 weeks ago, we considered how in the upper room, Jesus seemed to speak about his, in some sense, actively fulfilling Psalm 41, verse 9, about the one who ate his breads, lifting his heel against him. Last week, we considered how, on the way to Gethsemane, Jesus spoke about his and his disciples in some way passively fulfilling Zechariah 13, verse 7, about the Lord of hosts striking the shepherd and thereby scattering the sheep. And this week, we consider how at the palace of the high priest, Peter actively fulfills Matthew 26, verse 34, about his denying Jesus three times before the rooster crows. Now you might say to me, wait a minute, Pastor, that prophecy about Peter's denial was not from the Old Testament. And of course, you are right about that. Jesus made that prophecy, as we heard in last week's reading. And you might say to me, and St. Matthew's account does not explicitly say that Jesus' prophecy was fulfilled. And of course, you are right about that too. Although by his telling us that Peter was reminded about the saying that Jesus had said, and by repeating what was said, the divinely inspired St. Matthew certainly seems to intend that we consider Jesus' prophecy to have been fulfilled. Just like he explicitly reported that the words spoken by and written by Old Testament prophets were fulfilled. To be sure, we can consider Jesus' prophecy to be fulfilled, and we can consider that that prophecy is, in fact, fulfilled. For example, last week we mentioned Jesus' prophecy that he would not lose any of the disciples other than Judas, which is explicitly said to have been fulfilled. And earlier, Jesus had prophesied about other things that would function as signs for his disciples, such as a man's carrying a water jars, indicating where Jesus and his disciples would celebrate the Passover, which the disciples found exactly as Jesus had told them. And Jesus had also prophesied about his being crucified, which prophecy later is apparently specifically said to have been fulfilled. Although Jesus was both the prophet and the object of Peter's denial, in the case of tonight's reading, the prophecy and fulfillment more directly involve Peter, the first of Jesus' disciples turned apostles, who, as we heard last week, had fled like the others, but who had followed at a distance, and apparently, thanks to the help of John, was sitting with the guards in the courtyard of the high priest in order to see the end. But Peter did not make it that far. One servant girl brings the first denial. Another servant girl brings the second denial with an oath. And bystanders bring the third denial with cursing and swearing. the English Standard Version that was read took Peter's cursing as directed towards himself, but Peter's curses may have been directed at Jesus. Regardless, immediately the rooster crowed at least one time, and Peter was reminded of the saying of Jesus, and having gone out, he wept bitterly. We hear of Peter's denial and we shake our heads, but we should humble ourselves over our own denials and our other sins. As Peter did, we have heard our Lord say that we should deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. For those who try to save their lives will lose them, but those who lose their lives for his sake will find them. And we have heard our Lord say that whoever confesses him before people, he will confess before his Father in heaven. But whoever denies him before people, he also will deny before his Father in heaven. Our faithfully confessing Jesus and the fullness of his teaching may have consequences for us and the congregation that we do not want to endure. But consider the alternative of eternal damnation. We should not fear people who can kill only the body, but we should fear God, who can destroy soul and body in hell. Of course, we deserve that eternal damnation on account of both our sinful nature and all of our actual sin, whether sin against the second commandment by cursing or swearing in God's name, or sin against the eighth commandment by giving false testimony, or sin against any of the other commandments, as we all do. We may confess with our words that we know God, but we may deny him by our works. The Holy Spirit's working through the humble means of a rooster's crowing, whether at the day's first light or a special crowing, reminded Peter of Jesus' word and produced his bitter tears. Likewise, the Holy Spirit's working through God's word and humble means of water, touch, and bread and wine leads to our sorrow over our sin and to what Peter apparently still lacked at this point, namely trust that God forgives our sins for Jesus' sake. As we sang in tonight's psalm, we confess our iniquity and are sorry for our sin. We ask the Lord not to forsake us. We ask our God not to be far from us. We ask the Lord our salvation to make haste to help us. And he does. While Peter was outside in the courtyard denying Jesus, Jesus was inside the high priest's house, confessing essentially who he was, what he was doing, and how he was doing it. Jesus said that the high priest himself had said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. But the high priest considered Jesus to have blasphemed, and the council judged that Jesus deserved death. All three synoptic gospel accounts report Jesus' apparently being blindfolded and then being mocked as a prophet who should identify who struck him. And Jesus is not reported as answering. Apparently, so defenseless was he in their minds that he must not be the Messiah. Little did they imagine that the man Jesus is not using the divine attributes or powers that were his by way of his personal union of his two natures, was in order that he could die on the cross for the sins of the world, for their mocking, for Peter's denials, for your and my denials, and for all of our other sins as well. Although their false witnesses apparently intentionally got it wrong, Jesus had said truly that they would destroy the temple of his body and he would raise it up in 3 days. And they did so destroy it, and he did so raise it up. Afterwards, Jesus is said to have 3 times reinstated Peter. When we are sorry for our sins and trust God to forgive us for Jesus' sake, then God does forgive us, our sinful nature and all our actual sin, our sins of denial, our sins of thoughtlessly swearing, false testimony, or whatever our sin might be. God forgives us through his word and sacraments. We do not deny, but confess both our sin and who Jesus is, what he did on the cross, and how he gives us the benefits of what he did for us on the cross. In holy baptism, in holy absolution, and in the Holy Supper. In holy baptism, we each individually renounce the devil, all his works, and all his ways. And we each individually confess faith in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. After confessing the sins that we know and feel in our hearts, in holy absolution, we are forgiven in the same name of that triune God. And as often as we in the Holy Supper eat the bread that is Christ's body and drink the wine that is Christ's blood, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, faithfully confessing Jesus and the fullness of his teaching. In all of these ways, God forgives us and transforms us. God strengthens our faith when we see Peter forgiven after his denial, encouraging us to believe that grace abounds to us more than sin. Such strengthening of our faith is one of the honors that we give to the saints, along with thanksgiving to God for showing such examples of his mercy, revealing his will to save us, and giving teachers and other gifts to his church. And we imitate Peter's faith and other virtues according to our callings in life. We do not let the consequences for us and the congregation that we do not want to endure keep us from faithfully confessing Jesus and the fullness of his teaching. With Jesus' other prophecy fulfilled, we know and trust that his prophecy about our ultimately being delivered from our afflictions to eternal life in his time and way also will be fulfilled. Tonight we've considered St. Matthew's account of Jesus' passions, fulfilling specifically the prophecy of Matthew 26, verse 34. 2 other examples of prophecy fulfilled will come in turn in the next 2 weeks. As Jesus generalized elsewhere, what is written in the scriptures that must be fulfilled is both that he should suffer and on the 3rd day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. So repentance and forgiveness has been proclaimed to us. May God use us likewise to proclaim it to others. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.